The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
And it is the Federal Reserve in focus today. It is Wednesday. Next week, we'll possibly be parsing an FOMC statement, or at least we'll be anticipating one. But today, we are in the middle of the blackout period where Fed governors and presidents don't speak in the run-up to that meeting. But we do have other people who can speak, and that is our Steve Matthews at Peachtree Street in Atlanta, Georgia. We love having him on, our Fed reporter here at Bloomberg. And Ward McCarthy joins me in studio, Chief Financial Economist at Jefferies Group, former Richmond Fed economist as well. Steve, let me go to you first. You know, we are in a blackout period, but it's not stopping people from wondering what the Fed is going to do. This meeting in particular is a pretty incendiary one.
Sure. Yeah, really, in the last 6 or 7 weeks since the last statement on May 1, the big buzz at the Fed and among Fed watchers has been on so-called tapering. I mean, the idea that the Fed, which has been doing quantitative easing at $85 billion a month, essentially buying mortgage-backed securities and Treasury securities to try to push down interest rates for mortgage rates in particular, that they might ease back, pull back on the throttle, and instead go from $85 billion a month to some lower figure. And, you know, the speculation on that has rattled the market a little bit, and you see that in the 10-year Treasury yields, which have gone up half a percentage point, and mortgage rates, which have gone up. And so next week, the expectation of most Fed watchers is that you're not going to see much of a change in the statement. You're not going to see a great deal of not going to see any change in the $85 billion figure for right now. But the press conference that Chairman Bernanke will have will certainly give some color on whether or not that may change in the next few meetings.
Right. Ward McCarthy, Chief Financial Economist at Jefferies Group, I'll bring you in here and ask you, just on what Steve said, we may not get a signal out of the statement. Is it possible we'll get a signal from the Fed chairman himself next week?
Well, I think we will almost certainly get a signal from the Fed chairman, but I'm not totally convinced we won't get some type of a signal out of the statement as well. There has been enough confusion since the appearance before the JEC that the Fed has a very strong incentive, I think, here to clarify things. The behavior of financial markets, both in the U.S. and globally, has been rather extreme. And we've had, as Steve pointed out, a pretty substantial rise in interest rates, which the economy really doesn't need right now. So one thing that would be logical would be, in addition to what Steve said, and I agree 100%, they are not going to change the $85 billion purchases per month next week, but they could provide an additional guidance for down the road. Because the problem they're having right now is that in prior QEs, they told us when it was going to end when they started it. And that makes this one different. So they have to sort of tiptoe around how to provide guidance on when they're going to end it. So, for example, they could simply say, right now we expect to start winding things down in December and then give us a schedule of what the wind down might look like. And add the usual caveats that, you know, this could come sooner or later depending on the economy. But at least then the market would have a benchmark against which it could assess developments in the economy and how that would affect monetary policy.
Steve, have you a question for Ward?
Yeah, I'm interested in your view on how the inflation numbers, particularly the measure of inflation that the Fed looks at, is now at 0.7% and how that affects policy and the outlook for policy.
Well, that's a great question because I've been somewhat concerned about that. In fact, recently I described inflation as being the Rodney Dangerfield of the dual mandate because it just doesn't seem to get any respect. But logically, it should cause the Fed to delay any changes in monetary policy. Keep in mind, when they announced this open-ended QE, they also temporarily suspended effectively the long-term inflation target of 2% and said they'd accept inflation as much as 2.5%. So when they announced this QE, they apparently thought inflation would accelerate. It has decelerated. And frankly, I find that to be somewhat of a source of concern.
And in fact, we even have positive real rates now.
Yeah, we have positive real rates. Real rates have risen quite substantially. So, inflation either matters or it doesn't. And if they're moving towards a wind down of this program without considering that I think that would be problematic for Fed credibility and also make it much more difficult to figure out what is driving their decisions.
Gentlemen, stay with us. We have more to talk through on this very subject, inflation, what the Federal Reserve is thinking right now and what they will be saying to each other next week, the June FOMC meeting that many are awaiting on Wall Street and beyond. Steve Matthews is our Fed reporter. He is in Atlanta, Georgia. And we have Ward McCarthy of Jefferies Financial in studio on the Hayes Advantage. To the Hayes Advantage on Bloomberg Radio, I'm Vonnie Quinn. Kathleen Hayes off for the week. We are engaged in our Federal Reserve in Focus half hour. Steve Matthews from our Georgia Bureau is on the Ring Central phone line, and we're joined in studio by Ward McCarthy of Jefferies. And Ward, I just want to come back to something that you were saying before we went to the news. You were talking about inflation, and you were saying that really things aren't aligned. The conditions aren't in place, basically, for a wind down.
Well, yes. I mean, the Fed has a dual mandate, which means it's supposed to pursue maximum employment. And of course, we're not there yet. And also stable prices. And we have seen prices decelerate quite substantially in a relatively short period of time. In fact, the commodity components of the consumer price index have actually declined over the past year. So given that one of the primary intellectual justifications for doing a QE is to combat deflation, this would seem like a particularly untimely period of time to want to begin a wind down of the QE purchases.
Steve?
Yeah, Ward, I'm interested in your view. Next week's one of the four meetings in which the Fed will do forecasts. The FOMC members would individually submit forecasts for GDP, for inflation, for unemployment. What kind of tweaks do you look for in those forecasts?
Well, what they have been doing, and I suspect that we'll see something similar, is that they have been gradually reducing their expectations for 2013 growth. For example, in December, the central tendency forecast was 2.3 to 3%. In March, they lowered that to 2.3 to 2.8%. And I suspect that we'll continue to see that. Also, they have done similar things with the unemployment rate. In December, they projected 7.4 to 7.7. They lowered that to 7.3 to 7.5. And I think they'll have to continue to lower that as well. So at least their near-term economic projections, I think both for 2013 and 2014, will probably be lowered marginally, as will the inflation numbers be lowered marginally.
You know, we had that 175,000 print non-farm payrolls, and that was, you know, a lot better than last year. It was, what, below 75 last year and below 25 the year before. So I mean, there's definite improvement. Is it enough that were the Fed to signal something, were rates to move just that little bit more, that it would be okay? Or, you know, would another 20, 30 basis point move in rates really impact this fragile recovery?
Well, as far as the labor market is concerned, we have gone through a series of cycles where payroll growth accelerated and then followed by periods where payroll growth decelerated, and we're in another one of those deceleration trends right now that I think will last another month or two before payrolls will start to grow faster again, I expect. What would concern me about a continued increase in rates is that the primary reason for optimism on the growth of the economy right now is that we have a pretty encouraging housing recovery. With sales rising, inventories low, prices rising, Construction is on the rise as well. These are all good things. But if rates were to rise much more, and they certainly if we were to extrapolate the rate increase of the past, oh, say, 4 weeks, then that would bring would certainly provide some risk to the housing market and as a consequence to the outlook for the economy overall.
What would, you know, rates back up to Ward? What's the premium in there, if you like? You know, were the Fed to signal something might take place later in the year?
Well, a variety of estimates, including my own, suggested that the QE purchases probably caused Treasury rates to be somewhere between 75 and 100 basis points lower than they would have been had the Fed not been buying all of these securities. So the market's already made a pretty substantial adjustment in that direction with an apparent expectation that the Fed was going to be withdrawing these purchases. So up to this point, I think we're probably still okay. But if the Fed were to engage in the wind down near term, it would probably exacerbate this rise in interest rates, and then you'd have to start worrying about the housing market.
Steve Matthews, you know, how much will the Federal Reserve Market Committee members talk behind doors about the market reaction, do you think, to, you know, the Fed chairman's testimony?
I expect that that will be a big focus of the discussion. I think that there's a view, at least among some, that there may be a little bit of a disconnect between what's happening with the market and the market's expectations for Fed policy over the next year or so, with some in the market pricing in a near-term increase in rates or a reduction of stimulus quicker than they expect. And I think there could be an effort to align those expectations. Do you think that's possible, Ward?
Well, I agree with you. I think they'll want to learn from this experience. And Vani described it as being sort of a trial balloon to get some sense of how the markets would react. I think probably the direction of the market movements was not a surprise, but I think the magnitude of the market reactions probably was an unpleasant surprise. And I think the lesson that they will take from this is that they're, you know, at some point, the right thing to do will be to wind down this purchase program, but they need to do it gingerly, and they need to be very careful in terms of how they communicate it and also the timing of when they implement it.
I think another factor that we haven't talked about yet is that Ben Bernanke is expected to retire in January, if all his signals so far continue to be to hold up. And I wonder how that is going to affect policy, if at all, if there's going to be any effort to kind of clean things up and make whoever is the next chairman have more of an open hand. Do you see that at all as being an influence on Fed policy or timing?
Yeah, actually, I see it going in both directions. You know, that you're right. If he is leaving, he, you know, might want to hand off a clean book to whoever is coming in behind him. At the same time, I think what's happening right now might, you know, have an influence on his decision to leave. If the Fed were in a situation where the QEs had pretty much accomplished what they wanted, they were in the process of winding it down, and it was a relatively smooth process, then he could leave. I think it would be, you know, under very good circumstances. But if we go through another period of turbulence, that could affect his decision. And because he may be concerned about, you know, having the turbulence become exacerbated. So, you know, there's kind of circular reasoning going on here.
Are you saying he might be more inclined to stay on for a bit longer, you think, Ward?
Well, if the type of things happen over the next 6 months that we've been dealing with over the past month, I would think that that might have the effect of having him delay any decision to leave the Fed.
Steve, are you hearing that from anybody else? Anyone think that Janet Yellen, you know, may not be coming into the seat in January?
Well, I think there's a variety of views in terms of who would replace Bernanke, but, you know, certainly what everyone has been saying is that he's done full two full terms and is tired and would like to retire if he could. However, and obviously not attending the Jackson Hole, Wyoming conference in August and deciding that early has been read by some as perhaps a signal of that. And it will be very interesting to see how he handles questions at the news conference next week, because this will be the first time we'll be asked about Jackson Hole and his absence there and what that means. He's obviously deferred from, you know, answering any questions in any kind of a straightforward way, but he has answered questions in a somewhat elliptical manner that kind of give people an impression.
Yeah, Ward, I want to ask you as well about the Treasury sales this week. We had another weak auction today after a weak auction yesterday. Today was the 10-year Treasuries, and yesterday 3-year securities. What's going on there? Is there too much supply this week? Are people just spooked? Are they too long credit? What's going on?
Well, if we had these rates three months ago, investors would have been delighted to be able to grab this yield. But right now, I think that people are looking at the market as trying to catch a falling knife. So at these rate levels, I'm sure there is interest, but I think before you'll start to see institutional investors dip their toes back into the market, they're going to want to see a period of stability.
Yeah. To both of you, what can Ben Bernanke or the FOMC say or do next week? What would be the best scenario for the market? I'll start with you quickly, Steve.
Well, I'm really interested in what he has to say about the economic outlook, because if you look at some of the recent data, it's been on the weak side. Manufacturing has been slumping, for example. ISM figures, and there was a decline in manufacturing jobs. And the inflation data has been soft. So to the extent that he expresses concern about any of the recent economic data, that would definitely send a signal about their level of stimulus.
And Ward?
Well, I agree with Steve, although I thought at the JEC he made a pretty compelling case for an accommodative monetary policy. What I'm hoping is that both in the policy statement and in his press conference, he lays out a very clear case for when he thinks the Fed will start to wind things down, and that he puts it out in the fourth quarter sometime. And also lays out a time frame.
You think he would get that specific?
Well, I think it would be useful if he did. I don't know if he will or not.
Clarity, that's what the market wants, I guess.
Exactly.
Ward McCarthy, thank you so much for joining us, Chief Financial Economist at Jefferies. And we also had on the Ring Central phone line Steve Matthews, our Fed reporter and Fed genius, I should say, in our Atlanta bureau, Peachtree Street in Atlanta. Stay tuned. Carol Masser is coming up next for Taking Stock. You've been listening to The Hayes Advantage. Returning tomorrow with more on the markets on Bloomberg Radio.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.